Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Nathan East, hanging with the Teddy Bear on LOTL Radio, The Zone.
I want to thank everyone for tuning in and tuning out all the negativity as we get lost in a positive vibe of substance and blueprint music. Lord have mercy. And today's artist spotlight, four-time Grammy nominee, Cisco, joins us here today in the zone as we celebrate his new EP, Genesis. And not only that, family, the 20-year anniversary of his debut EP, Unleash the Dragons. I want you to sit back, vibe with the Teddy Bear as we make everything all right on this cold and rainy Tuesday afternoon. But it's time to be like GTE and bring good things to life. Let's see if we can get Cisco on the line. Lord, mercy.
Joining conference now.
Thank you, and Elizabeth, the lost after.
Okay. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
May I speak with Cisco, please?
What's up?
My man, it's the Teddy Bear from the Zone. How are you doing this afternoon?
Excellent, man. What's popping?
Oh, man, everything is quite lovely. We got a little rain, but it's okay, man. Like GTE, I'm here to bring good things to life, and thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule and joining us today, and congratulations on your new EP, Genesis, my man.
Thank you, man. Thank you. I appreciate it. I mean, you know, since it's, you know, the holiday season, you know, people like to party, so I figured I, you know, get them some party music for that.
but, you know, just want to take you back a little bit. First and foremost, this is, to me, it's monumental in this aspect. I can't believe it's been almost 20 years, man, since you released your debut EP. And I wanted to ask you from an artist standpoint, looking back on where you were as an artist then and where you're at now, how have you seen yourself progress as a songwriter?
Man, as a songwriter, I think more so as an artist is where I see the most growth. Because I think when I first came into the industry, you get this idea of what you need to laser focus on. When I first got into the industry, like when I was writing starting as a fledgling writer and producer with Drew Hill, I was coming from a completely different place of creativity. Because I didn't know how you make a living, you know, creating music. Because the writing aspect wasn't as important to me as the melodies and the harmonies. And so when it came to actually coming up with lyrics, that was kind of the last thing that happened, to be honest. It was like the first thing was like melodies. I would just, you know, get on the piano and just come up with different melodies and chord progressions. And even when it came to writing with my group, Drew Hill, when Nokio and Woody was started writing the song Five Steps, they came to me with, you know, this basically lyric sheet that had like pretty much just a poem of what later became Five Steps after I kind of manipulated the words that they had on the page into, you know, the way that you hear that song today, how it goes like, five steps, like, That came from me. Unfortunately, you don't get paid for arrangement. had to find that out the hard way.
Right.
But it was cool because at least I had that skill set already. So when it came time to just put words to my melodies, I think that's why, well, hopefully that's why, you know, the melodies that, you know, I've been fortunate enough to come up with stick with the words, because I think that's probably, you know, how I write melody first and then the words.
You know something, you said something very interesting. You said, you know, somebody came up with that, but I wasn't compensated. And I want to take it a step further, because you have a lot of up and coming artists that really, truly don't understand the business aspect of this industry. And a lot of these artists look up to you. A lot of them, to me, they mimic a lot of what you did 20 years ago. What are some of the initial wisdom that you can give to them, you know, up and coming artists, to, as far as getting inputting to them and say, hey, look, this is what you need to understand first and foremost about this business before anything else?
Man, that's a good question. let me think. I think touching back on what I said a minute ago about when artists are figuring out what it is that they need to do to make it. I think especially with all of the knowledge that you can get from just the internet and different outlets, different people, different artists, different books. I think what happens is young artists get all of this knowledge, and I think they do their best. Some of them do their best to apply it all at once. And, you know, so, you know, people hear all of this talk about masters, and so now everybody want to own the masters of their music. People, you know, feel like they want to get paid because they hear about, you know, people having their own labels and getting, you know, paid and running their own label. But I think it's like a more of an incremental thing. With me, I did the best that I could to study the greats that came before us, the Michael Jacksons, the Princes, Madonna, Janet Jackson, you know, LL Cool J, Run DMC, Will Smith, and Jazzy Jeff. These were like the artists that when they came out, Boyz II Men, Jodeci, when they came out, the one thing that I realized is, I guess the quick and easy answer is, if somebody dresses up, if you're an artist and someone dresses up like you for Halloween and nobody can figure out that they dressed up like you, then I think you got more work to do. That's the easy way to put it.
Yeah. Without question.
If you dressed up like Beyonce and you're like, hey, it's Nicki Minaj. Or, no, I'm Nicki Minaj. Oh, I thought she was dressed up like Cardi B. Like,
you know, what amazes me when Unleash the Dragon was first released, the internet was in its infancy, man. I mean, it was a baby. I go back, I'm kind of looking back at it a little bit. I'm like, wow. And now the internet is everything, where you have artists now, independent artists are using social media as a platform to promote anything and everything that they do. How long did it take you to get acclimated to start using the social media as a vehicle to promote your music, upcoming tours, or just whatever you need to do to keep yourself out there to stay connected to so many of your listeners who adore you and adore your music?
Oh, dude, that's a really funny question, because in actuality, when I did my solo album, see, when I was working with Drew Hill, we were kind of the last of that was kind of cut from that that soul school cloth, if you will. I don't call it old school, I call it soul school, where artists had artist development, and, you know, you had like a team of people to tell you, you know, how to speak in front of people. I remember my manager, Kevin Peck, way back when we were like 14, when he first found us, he took us to media training before we even got signed to a label, where I believe it was his aunt that taught us which fork to use at the dinner table. You know what I mean? Explaining to us how much, you know, we were representing, you know, our culture, our people, our family, our city, every time we get out there. And so to do the best that you can to represent in the best way. When we were doing that, everything was kind of analog with Drew Hill. And so when I went to my solo album, in an effort to make sure that my whole project was different than what we were doing as a group, I started doing everything digitally. So my album was recorded digitally. All of my photos was recorded. Were taken with digital cameras that were, like you said, they were in their infancy, which made the transition for me as a solo artist a little easier into the new millennium, because Drew Hill, we came at pretty much at the very end of, you know, the 90s. And then my album was like at the very beginning of the 2000s, like 2000 is the year of the dragon. That's why when I said unleash the dragon, then I'm born the year of the dragon and all of that. It was like, it was kind of like every time I would ask to do something, it was always so expensive, because a lot of times they said that those things hadn't even been created yet. Like there's this one special effect that we used in the Thong Song video. When I stomp on the ground and the sand ripples.
Right.
Are you familiar with that? Like when I say dump like a truck, I was like boom, and then we stomp and then the sand ripples like water. That was a special effect that cost about $60,000 back in 2000. So if you upscale that's about maybe $100,000. And I was explaining to the label that I felt like it was completely necessary, whereas the label thought it was completely unnecessary. And it was crazy because, dude, that was the first time I used that. The second time I saw that special effect used in a movie was in The Matrix. And so we had used it first. And if you look at the second Matrix, like when Neo punches the ground ripples just like it did in that video. And so it was a lot of that started a lot of the rubbing with me and the label, because I had these ideas, and it was just like, you know, whom I patented myself after, Michael Jackson. A lot of the ideas that he had were, you know, ahead of their time. But specifically when it came to social media, even to this day, dude, they still drag me kicking and screaming to that. Like, because we had to go everywhere. Like, we went to like all 50 states personally. Like,
hey, I get it, because I remember when, like you said, artists had to actually come to the radio station mm-hmm. to promote anything and everything they were doing. And now mm-hmm. you can sit in the comfort of your home, conduct an interview, promote anything and everything that you want to do, and it's able to reach worldwide. It's amazing, completely amazing to me. What's the difference now between to me? I've had this conversation with quite a few artists that at one particular point in time they were signed to a major mm-hmm. label, and now they're independent artists. What is mm-hmm. the most challenging adjustment from being on a major label and becoming an independent artist?
That bag. that bag, what I mean by that bag is that monte. Like, a lot of people don't know that Dong Song got to get all of that incomplete. That was all on my label, and I had a label deal with Def Jam, so I was one of the youngest CEOs in the game. It kind of goes back to what you were saying earlier about how initially, like a couple years back, a lot of artists didn't really mention me a lot, but you would see some of the things that I had done kind of reverberating with, what some of the younger artists were doing. And now it's just, I guess it's so blatantly obvious, they don't have no choice but to say, but to mention me in some way, shape, or form. But, man, the difficult part is, it was always kind of difficult for me, like I said, because I was, everything was on my label. So every time I would come up with an idea, it was always this back and forth with myself and the label of what should come next, which was really just crazy because they didn't have anything to do with my album. Like, I had told them that I wanted to record an album, and they had wanted a new Drew Hill album. And the main reason why I wanted to do a solo album at that specific time was because one of our members, Woody, had left the group. And I realized how that had affected our fan base and how it affected the group. And we had literally been on the road for probably about 2 years straight. And after we did the Wild Wild West with Will Smith, and he said, Cisco, you know, it was like almost like he had given me like an alley-oop. And, you know, while we were figuring out what we were going to do, while we like lost our member, because if you look at that video for Wild Wild West, you'll see it's four of us in the beginning, but only three of us at the end.
Yeah.
Because Woody left the group. Yeah. Right. On the set of the Wild Wild West. So, man, that was rough for us. And then we had to finish our American leg of the tour. Cause when we was over in Europe doing the tour, you know, Woody was still in the group. And man, we had like NSYNC and 98 Degrees opening for us in Europe. So by the time we got to the U.S., man, we were, because, you know, we started off as, you know, kind of Jodeci. We wanted to be the best Jodeci we could be. And as we grew as artists, we wanted to get that kind of, we wanted to get that boys to men status, if you will. And we were literally right there when Woody decided that he wanted to lead the group. So I kind of jumped off and recorded my album myself and sold it back to the label because they didn't want it initially. And so, you know, when I came to them with, you know, the Thong Song, got to get it, and I had all of these records, like, you know, the work was pretty much done. So they didn't, I had borrowed some money from my manager, Kevin Peck, to record my solo album. And so when I sold it back to them, you know, they're the big machine. They had that just a bucket of money to throw, you know, at my project. And when you think about it, it was like, because I had already recorded everything myself, it was like a whole lot of stuff they didn't have to pay for. So I came in, Dragon Music Group, I came in the green. So when it came time to, you know, come up with these different ideas and stuff, you know, you got a whole team of people and you got like a boatload of money just kind of sitting there. But like I was saying earlier with that special effects, man, everything was a fight. You know what I mean? It was like, you know, like, man, it goes all the way back to when we first got into the music industry and I wanted to dye my hair blonde. They didn't even want my hair blonde. That's why if you look at the first Drew Hill album, every picture I have in that album, I have a hat on, because the label thought that it would ruin our career, and it ended up working to our benefit. So I know I took a long way to answer your question, but to answer the question, man, it's like when it's working and you got the machine behind you, you get stuff like magic can happen. But a lot of times, when that magic happens, a lot of people don't know why that magic happened. Like, for instance, a lot of people don't know that. How deep is your love? How deep is your love for me? Da-na-na-na-na, tell me what it's going to be. That was the title track to the Rush Hour soundtrack. That was the first time that we had worked. Yeah, that was the first time that we had worked with Def Jam. And Def Jam had gotten a boatload of money to do a music, to do the soundtrack for the movie. And at the time, they were able to pay us. We had gotten paid more than any artist in history to do that soundtrack. And that was our first number one single across the board, like on the pop charts, hip-hop charts, R&B charts. The question is, why did that happen? Okay, now, for one, we was hot at the time, which is great. But for two, you had Def Jam, who had a boatload of money to do a soundtrack. You had a group that had already performed and recorded the hit. So all they had to do was basically pay us. Plus, they wanted to prove a point, because hip-hop wasn't really as prominent as it was yesterday. So
right.
What they did was they wanted to prove a point that they was a force to be reckoned with, because a lot of artists, a lot of big companies thought that it was just a fad, that rap was going to be over. And so Def Jam, working with us, wanted to prove a point. So they threw a bunch of money at the record, and so everybody heard it. So that's like I said, magic can happen. That's one of the benefits of being with a label, because you never know what kind of pissing contest that they are having to see if they can make a point or use the artist to make a point for them. And so at the end of the day, you can either reap the benefits, or it could be another scenario where a label is greedy and they got their own artist and they throw a song on you that's not that hot, and then they try to jam it down people's throat, and then as soon as the brainwash money runs out, then the song ain't hot no more, and you know what I mean? And then, you can't continue to perform like we do, every weekend. So, it's kind of the gift and the curse, man. It's like, if you could figure out how to catch that lightning in the bottle, and that's the whole thing. My manager would always say, you got a better chance of getting struck by lightning than having success as a musical artist, because there's so many talented people in the world, so many artists in the world, and just figuring out that perfect storm when you get a hit, when, you get the right amount of money, the right amount of promotion, the right amount of marketing, the artist is in the right space, and you just, music is alive. You just become music in that moment. And then it becomes a moment that people want to experience. If you're, if you're lucky and blessed enough, people want to experience that moment over and over again. So
that was
a long answer.
but you know what? It's a truthful answer, because a lot of young artists don't really understand as far as the amount of time and effort that it takes to deal with this business, or understanding first and foremost, this is a business before anything else. I go back to artists like Anderson .Paak, people who have sit up here to put in that necessary work, and now all of a sudden they've become extremely popular, or Chance the Rapper, who's an independent artist. And to me, I think it's wonderful. Yeah. To me, I think it's a beautiful experience to be an independent artist, for the simple fact is that you have complete creative control over your work. You're being able, you have the ability to put out something that's true to you, and not allowing other people to dictate what you're doing. And speaking of that, we waited a long time to get some new music from you, man. So you've blessed us with a new EP, a little slice of cheesecake with Genesis. Tell the listeners out there about Genesis, and when you initially started working on the EP.
Okay, well, Genesis is a new EP I have out, and basically, what happened was and everything that we have going on, and when I say we, I mean myself and Drew Hill, as well as my man outside of music. I have a children's book, holiday book, that you can get out right now called Cisco's Perfect Christmas. So I just want to throw that out there. But when with the Genesis EP, what happened was I was going over to Australia, and we were going to Australia and we were figuring out what we wanted to do with merchandise, because I was asked by the venue if I wanted to sell anything, then I had to, you know, get it in by a specific time. So I got with my team, and that was when I was informed by, I believe it was Tylisha Brown. I can't remember, because she's always on stuff like that. She said, you know, it's the 20th anniversary of Thong Song and shit. I was like, of Unleash the Dragon. And I was like, oh, it is? She was like, yeah, what you going to do? What you going to do, Hammer? And I was like, we had just came off a show with Hammer. I was like, does she know I'm Cisco? No, I'm just joking. She ain't say Hammer. But anyway, what happened was we decided to, I was working on some music I'm always working on fresh music. And I'm also in the midst of doing an album with Drew Hill. And okay. So the question was, like, how can I release some music without prematurely putting out some music that people want to hear from Drew Hill? And so I was like, well, hey man, you know, I got a couple new songs. I got just one song that I only did a chorus to. Maybe I could just do, you know, a couple of records, because it's not like it's clearly Cisco music. It's nothing like what people would expect from Drew Hill. Maybe I sew that together and just, you know, put an EP out. And so it was like, oh, okay, cool. So we put that together. I came up with a name with it. And when I went to Australia, we performed in front of like 30,000 people. And we had finally gotten the mix and master back, because I was going to sell it at the venue with this musical card that we pass out. And, dude, I was like, hey, man, what better way to sell the record than to sing it in front of these 30,000 people? And so, you know, my manager was like, cool. I was like, yo, just play it, and I'm going to sing it. And, man, I sang it, and the crowd reacted like they knew the record. And so I was like, oh, okay, I guess it's as hot as I thought it was. So I was like, man, I need to do more than, you know, just one of these. So, you know, Genesis is the first one. It's got, you know, three new songs and one song from my last album, Last Dragon. And I figured, you know, hey, man, let me do a series of these. So this is the first one, Genesis. The second one is Exodus. And the last one is going to be Revelation. And all I'm going to have three new songs, with one song from my previous album. And it's all pretty much just to, you know, just to kind of keep y'all rocking until that new Drew Hill music drops.
Lord have mercy. Well, the revelation for today, we got Cisco joining us live here in the zone. And let's get into one of the singles from the new EP, Genesis, called Bend Down. Here in the zone of LOTL Radio.
I don't see. Either way you work it, girl. giving up hot sex, wanting it, no flex. Got you screaming, you the best. When I get between your legs, we waking up hot sex, wanting it, no flex. Got you screaming, you the best. When I get between your legs,
with everybody.
I drop low, when I get in and I'm letting go. All I really wanna know now, when and where I'ma lay it down. You only know what started, ooh that body, know I'm about to wear it out. When you stand on your tiptoes,
let me see you throw the booty out.
So you say you wanna ride with a freak like me. Yeah. Something's telling me you want it by the way you're bending down for me. We waking up hot sex. Wanting it, no flex. Got you screaming, you the best. When I get between your legs, we waking up hot sex. Wanting it, no flex. Got you screaming, you the best. When I get between your legs.
Amazon.com. And remember to get all the latest updates. Let your fingers do the walking. Stop by Cisco's Instagram page. That's at Instagram.com/Cisco. Also on Twitter.com, official Cisco. And last but certainly not least, on Facebook at Facebook.com/official Cisco. Brother, it is definitely an honor to have you on the show. Whatever you need, please do not hesitate to let us know, and hopefully soon you'll make your way down here to Houston. We would love to have you come in the studio. Oh, just for our other guests out there, listeners that are tuning in, you mentioned something earlier about a book. Can you let the listeners know where they can actually go purchase the book from?
Oh, man, where they can purchase the book. Well, first of all, thanks. I really appreciate that, man. That's the first time I heard anybody play the whole song on the radio. I didn't expect
that's what we do, man.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. But yeah, you can get the book anywhere on Amazon.com, anywhere that digital books are sold. It's called Cisco's Perfect Christmas. If you already have it, an incentive to get the new one is that there is a lost chapter that we added to the end of the book. Basically, it was like some ideas that I was throwing around with Talisha Brown, who wrote the book. And then she surprised me on my birthday with the whole book done.
Wow.
And, man, I read it. It's incredible. I even got some artwork that I did inside the book. So, you know, it's really good. You can go pick it up, something you can read to your kids. Instead of Towards the Night Before Christmas, it could be Cisco's Perfect Christmas.
Lord, this is what I'll do. I'm going to sit up and buy at least 30 copies, and I'm going to give them out.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, we got to do that, man. We got to make things happen, you know. Without the listeners, man, we're not anything. So that's what I'm going to do. I'll buy 30 copies and make sure we give them out as prizes to the listeners that are tuning in. And, again, man, I just want to thank you and the amount of level of respect that I have for you, your perseverance, dealing with the ups and downs of this industry, is to be commended. I'm looking forward to getting some more music from you. Not just a slice of cheesecake, but a full course meal from you. And of course, Drew Hill will definitely be a beautiful thing.
I really, truly appreciate it. There's also a song, there's also a Christmas song called Perfect Christmas. So,
okay.
You know, you can put that with the book.
All right. So it is written, so it
shall
be due.
This is the last shameless promotion. Christmas in Baltimore, Drew Hill's Christmas album. That's out right now too.
Christmas
so once
in
again,
Baltimore.
Thanks, man. I'm gonna go pick up my kids. They can't stop singing the music, so that was how I knew that it must have been hot.
All right. Stay blessed, brother, okay, and have a wonderful
you too,
Christmas.
Man. You
okay?
have a perfect holiday.
All right. God bless.
All right.
The very talented Cisco here in the zone of LOTL Radio. Lord have mercy. It's definitely a beautiful thing on this rainy Tuesday afternoon. But Nee DeVere, the teddy bear's got you here, comfy and cozy, safe and sound like Linus's reliable blanket. Lord have mercy. Let's get lost in some more Cisco from the new EP, Genesis with Dragon, here in the zone of LOT Radio.
Cisco. Don Trump. The dragon hair.
Yeah.
Just a little bit with Sky Verbs. Hit right, Lord have mercy. Here in the zone of LOTL Radio. Want to send out a lot of love to Cisco. Thank you so much again for joining us. And remember, family, be sure to purchase his new EP, Genesis, available on all streaming platforms. And to get all the latest updates, stop by his Instagram page at Instagram.com/Cisco, and also at Twitter, official Cisco at Facebook, the same handle. Definitely a beautiful experience. 1:45 p.m. Central Standard Time here in downtown Houston, dealing with a lot of rain and inclement weather, but it's okay. The teddy bear is comfy and cozy, sipping on some Thai chi, feeling extra cuddly, extra lovable, which is always a beautiful experience. And for those who missed the interview, shame on you, but no need to fear. The teddy bear still has so much love for you. You can listen to the interview in its entirety. All you have to do is pull up that app on your cell phone. You can go to iHeartRadio and type in LOTL The Zone. But if you're feeling an extra little Spotify-ish, we're also on Spotify too. Same handle, LOTL The Zone. And while you're there at both websites, be sure to subscribe so you can get all the latest updates. We don't want you to miss out on these exceptional broadcasts, because I seen the need and I'm here to fulfill those needs of bringing excellent radio. We want an R&B music, jazz, soul, gospel. We want it shaken but never stirred. Lord have mercy. And to get all the latest updates, stop by our official website on Instagram at instagram.com/ LOTO Radio The Zone. Also on Twitter at LOTO Radio. And last but certainly not least, Lord have mercy, that's at facebook.com/ LOTO Radio The Zone. I want to thank everyone for tuning in and tuning out all the negativity. Until I meet you on the other side, hey, stay positive. Chocolate rainbows, Skittle candle bars, whatever you need to get you through today, make it happen. But as in always, keep it soulful each and every time while you're vibing in the zone of LOTO Radio. Thank you.
so symptomatic. Cause everything about you feels so right. Just can't break the habit. Gonna put it on the line and pay the price. All day long I think of nothing else but you. It's true. I just wanna keep you to myself and tell the truth.
You got me so gone.
Come on, baby, 'cause you know that
all day long.